God is good. We're having a wonderful day. We're not looking. Amen. We're not checking. You know, it could be cloudy and rainy and dismal on the outside, but we're not. We're always joyful. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We had that. I started out with that yesterday at the political convention. You know, at the Senate District Convention. Is that this is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to Well, that didn't work out well. Rejoice in all things.
Yay.
That one doesn't hold on like the other one did. Yeah. Rescue the perishing. I did in the beginning, but then we also talked about the day that the Lord has made. All right, you can start turning over to Psalm 34. The Psalms are always good, amen?
Amen.
Psalms are always helpful. They're healthy. You know, if you get a psalm, it's like having a good medicine.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And there's so many of them, my goodness. You can just open your eyes and pick one.
Okay, we're going to try this again. See, if you didn't bring your glasses, you've got to adjust your stand. Right?
Amen. Praise the Lord. See, turn these things every which way. All right. Amen. Amen. Lord God, we just want to come before you with thankful hearts and joyful hearts. We just love you with so much joy on the inside of us. Father, we count all things, even the things we lost, we count them as lost with no consequence. We count them, in fact, as if we lost dumb. Too bad. Lost that. Well, thank the Lord we lost that. Is we got rid of the stuff that was holding us back, that made us stink, and that was holding us from your presence. We're releasing the thing that was keeping us from opening our hand for your blessing and for your goodness and for your faithfulness. So, Father, we thank you for teaching us that those things which we even we didn't even have a choice to lose, that we don't hang on to them in the long term. That we don't hang on to them as they're going away and down the drain or down sliding down the curb. We don't hold on to those things. We just let them go. And Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that you are our source.
Amen.
In everything. So we don't count anything as our own. We hold it very lightly. We hold it very lightly. Now, once in a while, you may tell us, okay, go after that. But Father, our first inclination is to not cry, not mourn, not be in despair for anything, but to rejoice in all things, in all days. Because you are our source of supply. You are our Father. You are our Lord. You supply all things to us. So, Father, we just love you.
Yes.
We just declare that right now. Today, Father, I let that go. That things emotionally that were stolen from me, I let that go.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And I grab hold of your garment, the train of his robe, in the temple, worshiping you, thanking you, joyfully knowing that nothing shall by any means hurt me. Not in the country, not in the city, not in the state, not in my family, not in the church. Because I am filled with your spirit, and your joy is always on my lips. So we just love you. We love one another. We forgive one another. We release one another. They do. We just love you. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I need to get this thing where it'll hang on. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. We can just about close the book at that point. I will bless the Lord. And it says here, it's a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. So these are days when things didn't quite go as you had planned. You wish things had turned out differently. You had a different scenario in your mind about how things were going to turn out. Amen. You know, and that's true. That just is true. You wake up in the morning, a man plans his way, the Lord directs his steps. Hey, just something didn't go right. Something didn't appear to go right the way you were planning on it. That's happened to me. I don't know if it's happened to any of you. You know, it's kind of like living in this world. The sun comes up, and you just you got a good plan for the day. Everything's written down in your plan. Janet's got a planner, and everything's written down in the planner. And you know, I've found that if you write it down in your planner, it doesn't go that way. Janet has found that out. Amen. Or does it everything go perfectly when you have it in your planner?
Half and half.
Well, that's hopeful. She has a glass half full. You need to have a glass half full. Amen. You need to be like Jack. Always have a glass half full and always rejoicing knowing that, if the thing didn't turn out the way you thought it was, it's going to turn out better. Amen. Because, you know, I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord. Does the Lord need blessing from you? I mean, it's like you have capacity to like unload on him. Great blessing. I will bless the Lord. What is that? I will bless the Lord. I will give him all the glory. The blessing that God wants from you, desires from you, is so that he can bless you. If you bless the Lord, he will bless you. We were at the Jerusalem prayer breakfast thing this which is more than a breakfast. It's like a night before. Janet was worn out. The night before. And then they have a Shabbat dinner the evening afterwards.
And the breakfast early.
And the breakfast is like you be in your seat at 7:15, you know. Wow. After you've greeted a bunch of people at 6:45. So, I mean, you know, those Jews, they get up early. You know, they get up early to have a breakfast. You know, chicken sausage. It's okay. Chicken sausage. Chicken sausage. It tasted just like the real thing. Terrible same thing to say. Yeah. But it was wonderful. You're busy blessing Israel. We're blessing Israel. We're blessing who God blesses. You know what blesses God is when you bless what he blesses. You know what happens then next? It's you're blessed. Because you're blessed. Because you bless what God blesses, the blessing of God just flows out on you. Amen? I mean, just all kinds. Joy, peace, thankfulness, peace. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Jesus.
We're blessing his people because God made a covenant with Israel.
Yes.
Isn't that right, Joe?
Oh, it is.
It is, yes. God made a covenant with Israel. So, you know, you actually love Israel. Now, some people don't know that they love Israel. Some Christians don't know that they love Israel. They don't understand it. They've got a whole philosophy that Israel is now gone and the church is now Israel. Well, no, the Bible doesn't teach that. Amen. The Bible says all Israel will come in. Israel will come into the kingdom. We just took a pause. Just took a pause so that you guys could get in on it.
Thank you,
Joe. Appreciate that. Thank you. Letting the rest of us in. Yeah, we thank God for that. Yeah, because Joe is a light to the Gentiles. Amen. Amen. She is. It's the Israel is a light to the Gentiles. Now they forgot about that. They basically took the Gentiles and kind of went, you guys are, you know, we're the people. You're not the people. Well, God said, I've got another people. Really? Because what did he tell Abraham? He said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations, not just one. I'm going to make that was spiritual somehow. I'm going to make you the father of many nations. In other words, for God so loved the
world.
Jews. Oh, for God, Jesus said this. For God so loved, he was talking to Nicodemus, one of the big shots. For God so loved the
world.
I don't know if Nicodemus just kind of let that go by. He really didn't grab him on that and shake him around. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. The whole world. He basically told him the whole plan right there in one verse. The whole plan. For God sent not his Son into the second verse. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Oh man, I thought they were condemned. You know, in other words, you're making it worse. You know, the world is not condemned. Oh, I thought they were condemned. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might have life. Amen. So, I want to bless Israel. I want to bless the Lord. I want to bless the Lord. I want to speak the word of the Lord to him. I want to repeat his word back to him that he spoke over me. Is that he wanted to give me life and life abundantly. And every single day that I wake up in this world, you can either choose to live by the world's credo. You can choose to live by the world's creed. You know, like, you know, the one we just read. But that's his creed. You know, it's not, you know, it's a, the creed that we read here is a aggregate of the doctrines of the Bible, of the doctrines of the New Testament. You know, believe in God the Father, believe in God the Son, believe God in God the Holy Spirit. So we're declaring those things right there. You know, I've mentioned it before. They did that at baptism. They didn't have a Bible they could pull out, so they declared their faith as they were going under. You know, and this is from the, you know, time of the early church, that they would declare their faith as they were being baptized. And that's what we should have people do when they get baptized here. Yes, we baptize. I know we don't have a baptistry in the church in Fort Worth. Baptistry, it was a good deal. Everything passed away. We were closer and closer to heaven, the church that was there, you know, the doctrine there. It was a very dispensational church. And the Lord's Supper had passed away. Baptism had passed away. I don't know the doctrine behind it. But you know, it's kind of like you were so close to heaven that you didn't, the ordinance of this church somehow passed away. You did get saved. You did receive the Lord. But, you know, but they didn't, all that to say, they didn't have a baptistry in the building. They didn't even have a font, you know, like you would in the Catholic Church or the, you know, the high, what I call high church, you know, where you don't have quite so much water. And so, hello. And we, so we come in and we're blessing the Lord. Amen. We're blessing the Lord. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That, what is that? Is that we speak the word of the Lord all the time. We take his promises and take his word, and we declare it back to him, and we give him back his promises, because they're in our hearts to transform and change us. Amen? That's another purpose, is that God wants you to have his word what? In your heart. And he wants his word, because you, when you're looking around, you know, we were talking about this, I kind of got off on that other thing. But we're in the world, so you can either choose to listen to the world and choose to listen to the world's rendition of what it is going to go on today and what's going to happen today. Is it okay to listen to news? Sure. You see what the world is doing in deference to what God is doing. And it makes a stark distinction to what God is doing, isn't it? So it's not like evil to listen to the news. What is, you know, Paul knew what was going on in his world. He knew what was going on in his day. But the fact is that, but that was not in his heart. His heart was filled with God's promise. His heart was filled with God's word. And his heart was also filled with, his heart and mind were filled with indignation against that what the world was perpetrating is truth. All right? And that's what you and I are. We are a light to the Gentiles. Just as Israel, we now have been indwelt by the God of Israel. We've been indwelt by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are grafted into this tree of Israel. You don't have your own tree. You don't have a different tree. The tree has not gone away. There are some branches that have been broken off, but that tree still exists, and the trunk is Jesus. But but you are grafted in, you know. And we read this, you know, a while back. Is that when you're grafted in, don't be thinking, you know, you did something. We studied this with the man over in the Dallas Bible Study Thursday morning. Is in Romans chapter 11. He said, don't be getting uppity. That you have. See, we always have an opportunity to get uppity, even as a Christian. Even just in living in this body, you have a tendency to get uppity about something. You want to be able to one-up yourself on somebody, right? It's a tendency of man. It's called the devil. It's called Lucifer. It's called pride. All right? And it's just like, hey, how about this? Well, look at what they did. Look at what that happened there. You know, you should be indignant. Well, you have to find out from God what you need to be with indignant about, don't you? You cannot be indignant just about whatever floats your boat. You have to be indignant about what God's indignant about the lack of justice in the world. Not social justice that they talk about on TV. But justice of God is that God loved every man and desires that they be saved. Amen. That's the justice of God.
Amen.
The justice of God is that every man deserves to be saved because Jesus died for that person. Amen. Well, you're unworthy. Well, of course they are. That's why Jesus died. You know? And that's why he wants to win them. And that's why when you're among them, when you're amongst people, is that your heart is always for them. Jesus always had compassion. He looked upon the multitude and he had compassion on them. Not because he had compassion on them because that was in him as nature. Guess what? It's in you as nature. Well, I don't feel it. Well, it's because you're listening to your brains. It's because you're listening to the old man. We mortify, we'll read about this later, it's mortifying the deeds of the flesh. It's not a deed that you do, it's always by faith. Everything that you do is by faith. Even when it says in the Bible, do something, it's always by faith because God does it.
Amen.
Amen? God does it. You look at him. Beholding, 2 Corinthians 3:18, beholding him, we are changed from one degree of glory to the next. Amen?
Thank you, Jesus.
You are beholding him. So what your day is, even though you had a plan, is rejoice and behold him. Well, I'd never get anything done. No, you'll get more done.
That's right.
Well, silly. No. It's because God knows how to move things in ways that you don't even know how to move them. When you praise him, things move out of the way and things move into place.
Amen.
When you worship and praise God, everything goes according to his plan. And that's what you want. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. You had a plan to get your desires going. God changed your plan. Guess what? Good idea.
Amen.
Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. Didn't we already read that? There's more in there. There's more in every line in the Bible. You know, Jim used to talk about the white fire. Right? Yeah, the white fire. There's the black words. This. That's the letter of the law. You know, and you crucify somebody else and form another denomination because you believed it that and they believed it that. And so we're going to split over it. That's not Jesus. No, you didn't agree with that. That's fine. Albeit for blasphemy, Philippians chapter 1, Paul was in prison. People were preaching the gospel. They were preaching the facts of the gospel, people getting born again, people hearing about Jesus, that their sins were forgiven, but they added all kinds of other things, you know, that God is gain. You know, they had the prosperity gospel going on, you know, right there. And, you know, but Paul said, regardless. So Paul wasn't sweating in prison trying to correct all the doctrine. He said, "As if the gospel is being preached, happy am I." Amen? It's not that bad doctrine is good or acceptable. It's that you just don't need to get overly worked up about it. What you do is you pray. Amen. Well, Pastor, that just sounds wrong. No, you're thinking Old Testament, you know, where you go in with a knife and or a jawbone of an ass and, you know, just take care of the wicked, you know. That's not your job. Your job is not to do that. Jesus never said, he took a whip to the tables and turned over the tables of the money changers. That's about as violent as it got. You know, he didn't whip anybody. You know, he just got their attention. Then he flipped over their tables.
Yeah.
All right? So, when you're going in, and you go in with a loud voice. to declare
Amen.
Jesus Christ is Lord.
Hallelujah.
He is the King of Kings, the God of Gods. He is the Son of God and has come and destroyed the work of the devil and has given you life forevermore.
Hallelujah.
I will bless the Lord
Hallelujah.
At all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I have an opportunity to not praise Him probably in a minute or an hour. You know, I'll have an opportunity. I'm not thinking of anything. I'm just something will come up and I'll have a great opportunity, an open door to not worship God, to be angry at the restaurant or something, you know.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe I'll have, you know, I have a car, I have gas, got to the restaurant, got in the door, sat in the cushy seat and complained. You know, because something. I mean, shut up. You know, do not be, don't let the enemy, I will bless the Lord at all times. You would think something happened to me the way I'm talking about this, but it's just, I've got it in my heart, the Holy Spirit. I believe it's the Holy Spirit. I don't know what you believe. I wish you'd get off that verse. I'm grumpy today. I don't want to bless the Lord. I want to be mad at God because He didn't get something done. No, He's getting it done. You're just in the way because you're not praising Him. No, that doesn't sound good. No, you're not. You're in the way. If you're not praising God, you're standing in the way. You know? Amen. So listen, I will bless the Lord. That's you talking. That's David talking. That's you talking. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It's easy to preach. Just let the Holy Spirit lead you. Now, you may not think this is good preaching. That's okay. But it's probably because God's talking to you. His praise shall continue. That's a declaration. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul, okay, this is good. My soul, that's your mind, will, your emotions, that's a part of you that interacts with the world, okay? Your soul is the part of you that interacts with the world and your environment. That's your mind, will, and emotions, the part of you that walks up and speaks to somebody and responds to somebody. Okay? And now your spirit informs your soul. You can either curse them or you can bless them, you know, when you meet that person. So he says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof, and be glad. So when your soul, that is the part of you that somebody can see, because they can't see your spirit. All they can see is your mouth talking. And whether you're smiling or grump or irritable, you know, your soul is the person, what people see, right? That's what people see. They see your presentation. Not your, but in other words, the presentation that is displayed, all right? Coming back off of verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Well, there you're coming in with that. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Those that know that the Holy Spirit's speaking to them, they're gonna hear. The humble are those who have said to the Lord, you know, I don't have it all, and I need what something is. And then some guy shows up with the word of the Lord. And with joy in their heart, and declares to them, the humble shall hear thereof. And what will happen? They'll be glad. That is, they'll receive what you're sharing. They'll receive your testimony. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. That's us. That's the body of, the body of the Lord. The body of Christ in our case. The body of the Lord. And we're, oh, magnify the Lord. We did that this morning, singing. I will enter His gates with, come into His courts with thanksgiving. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise.
Right.
Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. So we come in with thankful hearts and we express that. through the soul. The soul. But command your soul. You command your soul. You know, David commanded his soul, didn't he? Over in Psalm 42, he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hey, what's wrong? Hope thou in God. David encouraged himself in the Lord, didn't he? David encouraged himself. The scripture says it. David encouraged himself in the Lord. So when you get into a position where you see your soul going downhill, you come back to the scripture. The Spirit informs your soul. The Spirit is not your soul. The Spirit informs your soul, Willis. And He informs your soul and speaks to your soul and encourages you. Says, hope thou in God.
Amen.
He reminds you in the middle of your trouble. Hope thou in God. He'll remind you when a contract is going bad. Hope thou in God.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
He does. You know, when all your money seems to be going down the tube, you know, or, you know, when you quit, don't look at your money, look at the Lord.
That's true.
Amen?
Amen?
Don't be afraid to give when, you know, things look like they're going downhill. Because,
Amen.
Now, if you don't have hope in God, then yeah, be afraid to give. Don't lock up your bank and, you know, keep it all, you know. And you're just like putting it in a bag with holes, because it's going to go away anyway. It's going to go away anyway. Always be ready. Always be ready to give. That is, you're always holding everything with an open hand, right? Amen. Ready to let the Lord speak to you about meeting a need. Somebody is in poverty, you know. Now, some days God said, "Don't give to that, because that person or that situation is another bag with holes. That person is, you know, so many people, poor people, many people, poor people are cons. They will con a Christian. I've been conned numerous times, you know, because a guy's got a sad story. Funny thing is, they come back with a different sad story the next week. They forgot they were at your church, you know, and they had this other story. You know, I said, well, what happened to Mommy? And what happened to Aunt Sally? And then they're scrambling because they realize, ooh, you know, everybody remembers is that Mom and Dad probably told you is that lying is easy until you have to remember what you lied about, until you remember the story you told the last time, right? And so many people. So you have to ask the Lord. You know, He said, "Give to the poor." Well, give to the poor, but listen to the Lord, right? Amen. The poor may need a job. Maybe the poor need a job. You know. So you have to trust. Have to trust God. Have to find out what the Holy Spirit does. Amen. Wants to do. I feel like I'm walking around a big pulpit here. Got two music stands. Let's magnify the Lord together. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. That's good. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all of my fears. Amen. I'm on the wrong page here.
Glory.
Amen. I guess I wasn't preaching from those notes. Amen. See, over in Psalm 20, and over in Jeremiah chapter 29, here, let's find it. Jeremiah 29. Everybody knows that these days, right? That one became the big one to celebrate. I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That's after they had to make sure that they didn't fall into false doctrine. Just trust the Lord. Psalm 29:13 says, "And you shall seek me, and you shall find." This is after you come into the land that I delivered you back into the land after you've been in Babylon. You come out. He said, "And you shall seek me, and you shall find me, and when you search for me with all your heart, you will seek me and find me, and when you search for me, you will find me with all your heart. And, of course, you know, we have, then Jesus repeats the thing in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And it says, but seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow. Doesn't mean don't plan, but don't take any anxiety along with the plan. Okay? Don't take any worry along with the plan. Take therefore no thought, concern, or worry for tomorrow shall take thought for this. So good. Shall take thought for the things of itself. How about let tomorrow worry for itself? Just kind of leave it on autopilot, okay? Make your plan for the day, that's fine. And then when you get up and the sun gets up with you, or maybe if the sun decides not to get up, which is, I mean it's cloudy. It's rainy. Depressing. Does anybody get depressed when it rains?
No.
You get joyful, right? Yeah. Thank God for the rain. If you're a farmer, you're thanking God for the rain, you know. Yeah. People say, oh, it's so cloudy and dull. Well, praise the Lord. Get you a warm cup of tea. And I learned that from my daughter-in-law. She gets a cup of tea. You know, get a warm cup of tea and just get in the scriptures and get in your blanket if you got one. Get under your newspaper if you're out under the trees and out in the next to the garbage cans, wherever you are, and begin. You know, anybody can get, anybody anywhere can worship the Lord. Willis, do they worship God in prison? Can a man worship God in prison? Or does he have to wait to get out? So if you're in trouble, I'm just asking him because he knows guys. That's how he got out, actually. Worshiping God. God can be worshipped in the belly of a fish when you have rebelled against Him and gotten yourself in a fix. It's not profitable to run from God. God's not chasing you with a 2x4. It's just not profitable to run. Because God knows what's at the end of your run. And He says, wait on me. He said, wait on me. Don't just like wait on me to sit and be quiet, but you know, let me catch up with you. God doesn't want you running out ahead of Him. Why? Because He's got great blessing and great plans for you. He's working on the inside of you. Every single day is your best day. Brother, I don't know. That just doesn't sound right. Sounds too good to be true. No, God made the. I read this at the beginning of the prayer yesterday in a political convention. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, that's important for political people to know. I just felt like that. When I was preparing to do the invocation yesterday. In the beginning, God. Well, that's important. Because in the beginning was not government. In the beginning was not you. In the beginning, God created all of this. The earth created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Darkness. There was darkness until God. And God came and hovered and brooded and considered the darkness on the face of the deep. And God spoke, let there be light. And boom!
There's light.
There's the Big Bang right there. There was light. And God saw the light. And God said the light, saw the light and said it was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. This is God doing this every day in your life. God, every day in this in your life will separate the light from the darkness. Okay? He's going to separate the light from the darkness in your mind, in your heart, in your deliberation. He's giving you wisdom, separating the light from the darkness. Seek ye first the kingdom. Take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take care of the things. Take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. So in other words, don't plan ahead for trouble. Meaning, don't worry about your troubles months in advance, weeks in advance. Plan for the future. Perfect. Plan. Make a plan. God says, you make a plan. Fine. Problem is when your plans look like they're not working out. Can you change your plan? Sure you can change your plan. Don't worry. Don't take on the burden in a way that is giving you an ulcer. Or in a way that's taking your mind away from I will bless the Lord at all times and His praise shall continually be in my mouth. If His praise is not continually in my mouth, something is awry. I'm not seeking Him. I sought the Lord and He... Horton. He said what?
Horton
hears a who. You know, it's kind of like, do I hear something? Do I hark? Do I hear something? No. I sought the Lord and He heard me. Immediately heard me and He delivered me from all my fears. Now, I don't know about the immediate delivery, but... And He delivered me from... But, okay, watch that now. Sorry, I was wrong. He delivered me from all my fears. Maybe not the troubles all the way yet. But He delivered me from all my... What? Fears. Fears. He delivered me from all my fears. I'll bless the Lord at all times. They looked to Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man, talk about himself, cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Continually praying, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall, once a week, be in my mouth. No, His praise shall continually, morning to night. Even upon your bed. Amen. The angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear Him and delivers him. You look at Psalm 91. You look at Psalm 27. God is saying that the angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear Him and delivers him. So you have an angel of the Lord encamping around you. Oh, taste. Get your taster out. Come into the presence of the Lord. Let Him speak to your heart. How do you do that? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Well, it doesn't sound like you're the wicked message. You are the wicked. And this is what God's program is for you, isn't it? This is God's program for you. God's program for you is not for you to improve. God's program is for you to rejoice. At all times and in all circumstances. Did you ever know Pastor Jim to not rejoice? After a moment, you know, once in a while he'd go, oh, that is just, no, that's, you know, a whip and kicking over tables. You know, he got on that. But it was always rejoice evermore. Yahoo!
Amen.
Everybody say that.
Yahoo!
Yahoo! Amen. We don't say that because we worship a man. We remember the testimony of those who have gone before us. I know the man. I've known the man for. I knew the man for over 50 years.
Wow.
He's my father in the faith.
Yeah. Amen.
But he's gone to heaven.
Hallelujah.
My dad has gone to heaven. My mother's gone to heaven. My stepdad has gone to heaven. My friend Norma has gone to heaven.
Yeah. You're in good shape.
And it's about within 5 years of all these people are going to heaven. You never know. Maybe next week.
We'll be there soon.
Might not see me. Sorry, honey. Praise the Lord. Maybe your house will get finished before I go.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, right. But they put a. We know they're construction. We know construction has begun. I've got a picture of the. Janice got a picture of the porta potty. Out on the property.
Not for our house.
No, they. Well, it was the porta potty of my grandchildren. If you, I don't know if you really thought about that picture. It was the porta potty with my three grandchildren sitting in front of it. Not in it, but just, you know, in front of it. Door closed. And so praise the Lord. Apparently they're supposed to be moving dirt. I guess moving dirt is a plus. So at any rate, but we know that God is working all things for our good and our blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you at peace?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray for you if you're not. Father, thank you that you are manifesting your peace in the life of every single person in this room and all the people who are not here because they're all depressed. Father, we thank you for them, our brothers and sisters, those whom we love. Father, we ask you to minister to them your love, your peace, that they may bless the Lord at all times. Let the praise of God be in their mouth today. Hallelujah. So the angel of the Lord encamps around you. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed, happy is the man that trusts in him. The first blessing is actually happy. Amen. Jesus. Happy is the man. Blessed are they. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the poor in spirit. For they should be called the sons of God. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. We were with the children last Sunday in Fort Worth, and we're preaching on the teaching on the Psalm 23, and said, you know, that he takes away the fear. He what does he say? I shall not fear. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I told the kids when I was a kid and I read that verse, I said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It sounds the same, doesn't it? But for a little kid, it sounds like the shepherd is kind of holding you from going out and doing your thing. So you don't want the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
I guess.
I was a bad Sunday school kid. Peggy had to kick me out of class. That's how young we were. That's how young I was when they came. It was like 1969. Yeah, Peggy actually kicked me out of class. I was talking too much. So, amen. Oh. Let's look at that. Amen. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, for sure, no guarantee, no doubt about it. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, those young lions, verse 10 of chapter 34, Psalm 34, the young lions, they're helpless. Those young lions, they need their mama. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good. The word thing it got put in there by the translators, shall not want any good. They shall not lack to any good. Come, children, hearken to me. Listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Of course, you go to the Proverbs, you're continually reading about the wisdom of God and the fear of God, that you fear the Lord. The Lord, you fear the Lord, and the Lord honors that. He honors your trust of Him above all things. That's what the fear of the Lord is. You trust Him and His word before anybody else's. To fear the Lord is you hear the word of the Lord and you comply with either your action or your refrain from action. Amen? Fearing the Lord is, don't step there. Because He knows where all the landmines are, doesn't He? God knows where all the mines are. He knows where all the trouble is. And He says, no, do, you know, Michael Jackson, do the moonwalk, walk backward, turn around, do something. God will do that for you. Come, you children, talking to you, hearken to me, listen. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desires life and many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil. Now the word keep, this is a good verse. Keep is to observe or to guard. Keep your tongue. Keep your tongue. You know, is that your tongue is ready to bark out things, isn't it? James talks about it. The tongue is an unruly member and lights many fires and creates many problems. He that bridleth his tongue is blessed. I probably didn't quote that quite right, but it's close. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Now when he says that, what does he mean? Over in Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, he says, now, if you then be risen with Christ, seek. Since, that can be interpreted, seek, since you are risen with Christ, if this is the case, seek those things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Verse 2 says in Colossians 3, set your affection, your focus, your gaze, your attention, your hope, your mind on things above. What? Seek those things that are above. Verse 1, set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. So your hope, your thoughts, your attention is not on, because you're from above. You are from above. Hello. Anybody from above here? I mean, since you are risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, not the thing and where Christ sits. Set your affection, your hope, on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall also appear with Him in glory. Now he says here, now this is something here. verse 5 says, mortify therefore. It sounds like something you do, doesn't it? Okay, now get on this. Get on this project. Mortify the deeds of your flesh. You start killing that flesh. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And then it gives a whole list of stuff that you shouldn't be doing. Well, let's look at that. Well, first of all, let's find out what it is to be dead. Of course, Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified. So you're going to start talking about yourself, speaking to yourself, right? Paul did. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, it's not the same I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, it's still in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, look here now. The word mortify means necros, death. It means to deprive of power, destroy the strength. To deprive of power, to destroy the strength. There's two other places that necros is used in the New Testament. One is Romans 4:19, and being weak, not weak in faith, Abraham considered not. So to mortify the body was the same thing that Abraham did when he considered not his own body, now dead. Crucified, dead. His own body was so old he couldn't have a kid. His own body considered not his own body in the weakness of his, in the frailty of his body with regard to childbearing or child propagating. He considered not his own body now dead. That was to mortify. He considered not his body. So you mortify the deeds of the flesh by what? Considering not your body that is perpetrating all these wicked things that we just looked at. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, because you are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. So you mortify by believing the truth. You put on Christ by believing the truth. You don't put him on by, you know, doing the right thing. You put on Christ by believing and walking in truth. And that ain't me. This is me. I walk according to the scriptures. I walk according to the love of God and the peace of God. I don't idolize that person as an object to be used to for my wicked desires, but I'm looking at that person as somebody whom Jesus loves, and he desires to meet their needs and to bring them into the kingdom of God. Everybody you see is like that. Jesus had compassion on people because his needs were supplied. He did not need anything from anybody. He did not need them to supply his needs. People do that, you know. This human trafficking is all about meeting people's needs who think they need their needs met. So it's a big money-making deal, right? Because you're not abusing your own people. You're abusing people who don't matter. Well, Jesus says there's nobody that doesn't matter. Those people are as valuable and needy as your wife and your children who you're spending millions and millions of dollars to bless and make look good in the world. Everybody who is under the thumb of some sexual predator deserves the love of Jesus and deserves our love to put them. You know, we talk about some of these things, you know, when we're talking about your ability, what you have in the world to deliver people from such things, even in the natural. Right? Even in the natural. These are things that God hates.
Amen.
And so he will lead many of us to become involved in physical, in outward, tangible things to deliver people all over the world. There's people doing that over in Ukraine. We're going to hear from a guy on next Thursday, a guy who is on the ground in the Ukraine. Whether Ukraine is right or wrong, whether Russia is right or wrong, people are dying and people are suffering, and there are believers in that country. Now, whether they're believers or not, they're people who God loves and they have needs. And so these guys are on the ground getting people out, meeting needs, getting food in, getting medicine in, all these kind of things. So it's powerful. So this guy is over there right now. We're going to be on a phone call with him. Next week. Yeah. Hopefully, if we can take our call, you know. So when you say mortify, we said that, and being not weak in faith, so he considered not, that's what you do, you consider not your own frailty and inability, right? Because now the blood of Christ has made you near. And Hebrews, the other instance of nekros in the New Testament is, there sprang there even, this is the faith chapter, talking again about Abraham, there sprang there even of one, Abraham, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude. So there shall spring forth from you and the mortified body because of hope and the promise. So that's what springs forth from you. So quit. See, the church tends to want to look at themselves and kind of muscle up righteousness. So we're doing the same thing the Jews were doing, same thing the Pharisees were doing, muscle it up. No, this is about faith in the finished work of Jesus, manifesting himself in your daily walk. Well, brother, I just think it sounds like, what do they call it? Sleazy grace? What do they call it?
Sloppy grace.
Grace. Something else. Sloppy agape, something like that. Yeah, it's kind of like, well, God's into it. You quit and sin it. Well, yeah, that's why he sent Jesus. Not to just forgive you, but to empower you so that you would walk in righteousness and fullness of strength and peace. Amen? That's what he's doing. Glory to God, that's good news. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're coming to the end. Say what?
I know all the bad theology.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, we got people who know the bad theology that show up here. It's kind of like, whoo! Come, you children, verse 11, I will come to me and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Keep going. So keep your tongue from evil. Mortify the deeds of your flesh. How? By faith, by trusting in the promise. And your lips from speaking lies. Depart from evil. So don't speak lies. Don't speak what God didn't say. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. That is all a work of the Holy Spirit as you trust in his finished promise, isn't it? The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. That's you. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Just wait. Remember Psalm 2. You know, the kings of the earth get together and say, yeah, hey, you know what? We got a plan. We're going to get this thing. We're going to beat up. We're going to beat God, you know. And like that guy on the road, you know, we're going to beat him up, take his money. But God's got a plan. His ears are open to their cry, that the righteous. 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Glory. Oh, man. Yeah. The Lord is near to them that are of a broken heart, and saves such as be of a contrite spirit. What's a contrite spirit? Somebody who sees that I don't have it, he's got it. As Yul Brynner said, his God is God. As Nebuchadnezzar said, the God, worship, you guys, worship the God of Daniel. You know, when things didn't go Nebuchadnezzar's way, when Nebuchadnezzar ended up out in the backyard, you know, with dew on him for a period of time. Then he comes to himself, gets back in, and in Daniel chapter 4, he writes a chapter. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, writes a chapter. Worship the king of Israel. Worship the king of Daniel. The God of Daniel. The wicked will, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord. The Lord is near to them that are of a broken heart, and saves such as be of a contrite spirit, humble spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Everybody say amen. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. You know where he starts delivering you out of them all? Look here. Up here. Right in your noggin. Right. My mother used to call it your noggin. Anybody ever? Your mother ever called your head your noggin?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Somehow you remember these things. It says, is he, now I forgot what I said. It's up here in your head. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Right here, he delivers you out of them all first in your brain, in your head. Right? This is not, what do they call it? Metaphysical, where you think and be big. Didn't work for me. You know, didn't work for me. Didn't even, the Bible said you can't, even by caring about it and wishing for it, that you could add 1 inch to your stature. You can't. You can't. You can't do it. Living proof. And so, he says, he delivers you out of all your troubles, but he starts right here, in your heart, in your soul, by your spirit, is that he's delivered you out of all your troubles. I don't have any trouble. You do too. You are trouble itself. People look at you and say, man, you are in the depths of despair. I'm despairing for you. Stop it. Don't despair for me. I am great. I'm in perfect condition. Everything is going my way. You are not. You know. A lot of times you want to help your kids or people you know like that. You know, it's going, no, you're a little bit weird. You're living under a bridge. You know. You know, Alex and I were talking about a guy today. Living under a bridge, you know. You want to justify that. Well, Jesus lived out. Yeah, Jesus had no place to lay his head. You don't know everything. How many know you don't know everything? Amen? You don't know everything. And so you have to trust God. Verse 20, he says, he keeps all of his bones. Not one of them is broken. There's a prophetic word from Jesus. It's John chapter 19, 36. For those things that were done, the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of his shall not be broken. How'd that get into this psalm? Because he's also talking about you. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate righteous, the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants. Oh, thank God.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
The soul, that is your heart and your worry and your fears and your everything that is underneath and seeking relief. The Lord will deliver you. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate.
Hallelujah.
Today is this is a meditation. Amen? It's a meditation. You know, this is not like an exegesis of some portion of the scripture that you wondered about. Today is an exhortation to always declare, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Father, we just love you and thank you right now.
Yes.
That we bless the Lord this morning. We bless you. We speak joy unspeakable.
Yes.
Father, we are fully supplied in everything. We mortify by the Spirit and the fullness of God's finished work. We declare the deeds of our bodies, our flesh, are dead. I am crucified with Christ. How shall I mortify the deeds of the body? I shall declare His victory over my flesh. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not me, not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in this same, looks like the same flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. We worship You. We love You. We praise You. We thank You. We declare Your goodness. We declare Your love. We declare Your finished product, finished work. We are daily being transformed into that same image from glory to glory.